Los Angeles. Don't miss the excitement of LA Kings playoff hockey at Crypto.com Arena. Tickets for the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs are on sale now. Visit LAKings.com/playoffs to secure your seats today.
You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit LAKings.com/podcast.
Out high, Stetcher cranking up a slap shot. He scores!
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings.
Kopitar right back in, finding Kempe, the pass behind him. He scores! Brown with the steal. Brown tapping a seal. He scores! Pass to the doorstep. They score! Philip Deneau! Ain't overskated into neutral ice. Kempe with a step into the zone. Kempe to the net. He scores! Kings win in overtime. Adrian Kempe sends them back to LA with a chance to win the series.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men. I'm sorry this intro doesn't have the excitement of the end of that game. I really am, because I know I jumped out of my chair, and I know all of you did the same thing when Kempe scored that OT winner. I know you did. I know you did. So I'm truly sorry, but there's just no way to live in that intensity forever unless you're Steve Dangle. But I hope I've got the next best thing for you here. The return of the Royal Half. Welcome back, Kings fans. It is time. Gee, I almost forgot what game it was. It's time to recap Game 5. And joining me tonight, my best hockey buddy, the Royal Half. You demanded it. He's here. How are you doing, the Half?
You know, Jesse, I always said I would come back on the podcast when hell froze over. And my friend, are they playing playoff hockey in hell right now?
Yeah, they are. Oh, man. It feels so good. Like, the last time we did this, I couldn't see you because we didn't have Zoom. It was pre-pandemic. I can see your smiling face and everything. This is fantastic.
I mean, it's just like, I don't even know where to start. Like I have not for the last 5 or 6 years ever once said to myself, darn, I wish I was still blogging. But like tonight and this whole series and the sweet, sad tears of Edmonton Oilers fans with the two best players in the world who can't stop Troy Stetcher. Oh, it's enough if I wasn't so lazy to bring me out of retirement.
Now,
but fortunately, I'm
pretty lazy. Super lazy. Should I tell them about Game 4?
What do you mean?
Well, what the plan was.
I think you're violating HIPAA rights there with that.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. For anybody listening, the plan was for the Half to be in attendance at Game 4
and also Game 3. I had tickets for Game 3 too.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right. And I'll leave it to your imagination why he couldn't attend.
COVID for the cup.
But that podcast on the street with Jersey Bryan
might see me at the game. Just to be clear, for everyone that might see me at the game on Thursday, I have been asymptomatic. I have been isolating. I am following the CDC guidelines. Per my exposure and testing date, I am free to enter back into society at 6:59 Pacific time on Thursday night, apparently.
Now, have we consulted Team TRH HR to find out if we are allowed to release the actual roster of all the people on Team TRH who have had COVID at this point? Or is that just for our group chat?
No, that's just for our group
chat. All right. All right. So let's hop into the game, the Half. I took notes. We're going to go through them if I can find where I left them. Oh, dear. Oh, here we are. Game 5. Okay. Starting off Game 5, before we hop into the notes, though, where were you, like, emotionally going into this game?
Into the game? Oh, my gosh.
Like, at the start of the game.
This is so we were going to talk about this, but, like, let's just get into it. So it's been, you know, 10 years since the Kings won the Stanley Cup the first time.
Correct.
Jesse. Mm-hmm. Not and 7 years, well, 8 years, gosh, right, since they won it the second time. And so I now have two beautiful girls. One is 7 and one is 4. And during Game 1, my oldest said to me, wow, Dad, I've never seen you yell at the TV during a hockey game before. And it's just like, this is the stuff that kids say that's so insightful, you know, because like, I'm not kidding. Hockey is in our house. Like this is a hockey house. Okay. Yeah. It is on all the time. And with the playoffs, like my oldest especially has been trying to understand like, oh, so there's like four games each night and you can just kind of checkerboard between the games. But they were up for game one. They didn't go to bed till a little bit later. And yeah. And they heard Daddy yell and scream and punch and the couch.
Sure.
The couch.
Sure.
And so it's just been a very different experience. And then, and cut to tonight, where in between the third period and overtime, where in the past I would have been a nervous wreck and biting fingernails and downing Bud Light limes, I was like, wow, this is a great opportunity to make the lunches for tomorrow so that I don't have to do that after the game, because if the Kings lose, I won't be in a good mood to make lunch. And if the Kings win, I'll want to like jump onto the podcast with Jesse. So I made their lunches for tomorrow in between the third and in overtime, which actually kind of centered me and got me to a good place. But no, I have been, as hockey cool as I thought I've been, I have been a nervous wreck the entire playoffs. I've been counting down the minutes until the game's on, loving the 7 o'clock start time consistently for all the games and just planning like my day and my night around it. And it's just like, you forget how amazing playoff hockey is. You really do. And even when the Kings, you know, they've struggled the last time they were in the playoffs and even before that, but like, it is just so much fun. Like, you've been at the games, right? The atmosphere has been amazing. Like it's, you forget how fun it is.
It's been a weird series though, eh? Because game one was on the road, right? So we couldn't get the crowd. Mm-hmm. We couldn't. And so, you know, I don't have two beautiful children. I have, you know, my Roomba. And so, you know, that's won. Me.
You're better off. You're better off with your Roomba.
Cheaper, I imagine.
Roomba doesn't talk back to you.
But so they won, right, on that Mike Smith gaffe. And so, you know, it was fun on social media.
What a gaffe it was.
And it was great. And then we did the podcast. Then game two was such a decisive win for Edmonton. And then game three was such a decisive win for Edmonton that they're really... Sorry, go ahead.
Have you ever, be from your own fandom or from watching other teams, ever seen such a dire situation with a team being down 2-1? As it was after those two games, like it just like
I was like, head, no.
I mean, it just was like I was like, this is it, the world's over. Like I just like, and it's like a buddy of mine was like, it's 2-1.
That's
the Predators. You
that
know?
Is what all the players said. That's what all the coaching staff said. Like every player we talked to, it was just repeated over and over and over again. It's 2-1. It's 2-1. It's 2-1. And then game, but there was no, my point is there was no drama, right? So there was no opportunity to experience that playoff stress. And then game four was a 4-0 shutout. And they scored first. And so even that was kind of like, it was fun. It was amazing, but it wasn't stressful. Tonight was our first real taste of playoff stress. And I had forgotten. I'd forgotten how intense that stress really is.
My wife said that she saw me leap higher tonight than the last time she said she saw me jump that high was at our house, was a game seven against the Blackhawks when we all like all of Team TRH like leapt into the ceiling. Like that's what I did tonight. And it's just a weird experience in the times we're in, like just being by yourself or just having like, you know, someone else in the house witnessing it. But like, I mean, I tweeted it out, but like I've been barely emotionally prepared to see the Los Angeles Kings back in the playoffs, let alone go through a playoff overtime. And it was just the fact that it happened quickly and painlessly was just like, it just was so perfect.
I don't remember who said it on the telecast. I think it might have been Jim Fox. And he was talking about that overtime, which we'll get to again later. And he said, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, two guys on the ice. They didn't even touch the puck. They didn't even get a shot on goal. It was just all Kings. All right. Having said that, we're going to leap into my notes here. Right off the hop. Andreas Athanasiou back in the lineup, but I was really glad they kept the two top lines from the previous game together. I really like Grundstrom on that second line. before the series started. We had Jared Stoll on. He said he picked, I was asking everybody, like, who's the Claude Lemieux of this team? Who's going to be the guy that, you know, is okay in the regular season, but shows up in the playoffs and just turns into a completely different player?
I love that you use the example of the guy whose son is on the team.
Well,
as your Mendoza line for who it's going to be.
I wanted to keep hammering the severance joke, but I know nobody watches. And he said Grundstrom. So
no, it's so funny because I feel like out of anyone I've watched over the last couple of years, like, he just, Grundstrom kind of goes back and forth, and you see these flashes of the player that the Kings really wanted to acquire. But the last two games, you know, just top to bottom, you know, even the Kapari line, like every, like Lazat, like playoff Blake Lazat.
Well, we're going to get something. Him.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I wasn't set an agenda, so I didn't know what's going on, but like in terms of Grundstrom. Yeah. I mean, like it's just, and, the nice line, as you've coined, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that you can slot a player like that in with Deneau and Moore, and whether it's Iofalo or whether it's you know, whomever, like, it's just great that line. You know how long this team has wanted to have a consistent second line. You and I have been fans a long, long time, and Jeff Carter was amazing, but like to have Deneau and Moore, and then whoever is playing with it, whether it's Grundstrom or whomever, like, it's just so exciting because that's what you need to succeed in the playoffs. You cannot be a one-line team. You cannot be a team that has the two best players in the world on it, but nothing else.
At one point later in the game, I wrote, this game has turned into 2-on-20. It was just McDavid and Draisaitl against the LA.
And I don't know if I would take the Kings.
Yeah, no, that looked, they almost pulled it off. So yeah, Draisaitl
was somebody tweeted out tonight, but Draisaitl went full Kobe tonight. Like that guy, or McDavid went full Kobe tonight. Like he was like taking over that game.
Yeah. So the next note is big first goal, and we're just talking about him. Grundstrom goes straight to the net, and I don't even remember how it got scored. I just remember it went in.
You don't remember how it got scored? You don't remember how it got scored? This is Troy Stetcher's world, my friend. This is Troy Stetcher's world.
Was that the first one or the second one? Because I've got him
that was two. The first goal.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, there you go.
I believe so. I mean, look, you're the professional here.
I know. Like, well, I didn't. My notes are usually a little bit more. Yeah, you're right. Stetcher was the first one. All right. So there we go. So then that leads me into the second note
To which current LA Kings insider gave us the best joke of ever.
That's right.
One more Troy Stetcher goal, and I'm changing my name to the Troil Half.
I mean, we might as well. So last game 4, when I saw the lineup and I saw Stetcher's name in and Jordan Spence out, I scratched my head and I went like, oh, I thought Jordan Spence played pretty well. And I went back and I looked at the numbers and he was like the leading fancy stat guy across the board in the series, and I was like, oh man, Stetcher for Spence. I'm not so sure about that. I might have had some choice words for that decision in the Team TRH group chat, and I've never been quite so happy to be quite so wrong about a coaching decision. Troy Stetcher has been amazing in these two games.
You know what's been interesting? Ever since they acquired Stetcher, like, I've actually noticed it. like he was noticeable during the remainder of the regular season after they traded for him. Like, it's, you know, the Kings have traded for these spare defensemen in the past while gearing up for a playoff run. But like, I just to kind of get an entry into the world of Troy Stetcher, like, a lot of the people that we love to follow on Twitter have told us that, like, he was a cult hero in Vancouver and a cult hero in Detroit. And it's like, he's one of those players that is not the player that everyone makes fun of, but the player that, like, is good enough to get a reaction from the fans. And maybe he's not, you know, in the permanent starting lineup, but, you know, it's been very interesting to watch Tom McClellan coach in the playoffs here, because he really has, he's had a tough order matching lines against Draisaitl and McDavid. And what Jim Fox was really pointing out well tonight was, and last game, about when a power play ends and the position that puts the Kings in, you know, losing Deneau and Kopitar for the power play, and then, you know, giving McDavid the opportunity to go against the bottom six. But the small changes that he's made, like Grundstrom and putting Stetcher in, like, it's been great to watch.
And it's, I mean, they're up 3-2. I'm still wrapping my brain around that part. I'm just going to burn through a couple notes after that because they're all sort of in the same vein. Kings doing amazing job in passing and shooting lanes, 3 or 4 puck interceptions in the first 10 minutes. Dursey took the hit to make the play in the corner, getting the puck out. I mean, just like the commitment to stopping Edmonton's offensive effort is. I know that all year long we've been hearing about identity and structure and all this stuff. I have been really impressed with how committed the Kings have been to, I think I heard tonight was the season high in block shots. I don't know what the final number was. They've just done an amazing job down low.
It's such an overused term in all of sports, but especially hockey, like a system, right? We build a system. We have a system. We have a system. Let's just play the system. But like, you really see like what the Kings were able to build over the last couple of years, and especially this year with all the injuries that they've had to overcome. And it's like, if you just play the way you know how to play, you'll get the opportunities. You'll shut down the two best players in the world.
Yep.
And I consider what Dreisaitl had 2 tonight, McDavid had 1 and 2 assists. Like, I consider that, I consider 6 points between those two guys to be a shutdown, considering what else is happening across the NHL. But yeah, it's just they came out tonight team possessed, and you know, the second period was a little shaky, and then obviously the last, you know, half of the third. But you just, as pessimistic as of LA Kings fans as we've been known to be in the past, like, there was a little bit of hashtag believe that they were going to pull this off.
Oh, it was on full force tonight, led by, this is the next batch of notes I have, led by number 23, Dustin Brown with a spinorama in the deep offensive zone. Amazing how that line, 46, 48, and 23, holds possession, even if they don't threaten to score. Shift ends with an icing against the Oilers, and then like a few minutes later, they go out there and another icing against the Oilers with that line out on the ice. And this is before way before the goal even gets scored, you know, with Brown making his play to Athanasiu. We wanted to get a chance to talk to you. I still think we will later, once the series, you know, once the playoffs are done, we'll be back on and talk about Dustin Brown. But I mean, here's an opportunity for you to talk about Dustin Brown.
On the day that Patrick Marleau retires, is there nothing better than prime 2012-2014 Dustin Brown being on both a regional and national television audience? Is there nothing better than for the guy that just could never, ever get there in Patrick Marleau to see Dustin Brown just be vintage Dustin Brown? And I forgot who it was, the Oilers player that he nailed, but there was some hit behind the boards in the last 10 minutes where he just crushed the guy. I mean, just it was great. It was and I think, you know, it's been infectious. You're seeing how well the young players are playing in the series. And, you know, yeah, we can get into it later with Brown, but it's like for someone like us who was like, remember when he was drafted and remembered watching him his first season, and we had a high ankle sprain and all that stuff to come full circle. And I was a little, how do I put this carefully on the All the Kings Men podcast, the official podcast, Los Angeles Kings. I was a little skeptical of the win it for Brownie branding that's been happening.
Sure.
You know, like, it's just like, you know, and I know that probably Brown, and I think you mentioned it on the podcast with Jim and Nick, but like, he probably wanted to announce this earlier, and he said it, right? But Vegas kind of screwed up his plans, and
yeah.
I was a little like apprehensive, but now I'm full Hollywood romantic comedy, like, win it for Dustin, you know, like, win it for Dusty. And I think tonight was the Dustin, like, if that's, you know, whatever happens for the rest of this round, but if like that's one of our core memories, is this game with Dustin Brown, like, it's great.
Whether you're starting a game or starting your day, you need to pick a starting lineup. And you're going to want the starter from Jack Black. Loaded with the superior skincare the pros love, Kings fans can get the starter for just $10, shipping included. Available exclusively at getjackblack.com with the code TEAMJB, the starter has 4 of Jack Black's best-selling skincare and shave products, plus a full-size intense therapy lip balm, SPF 25, in natural mint. Here's to the winning combination for 2022. The LA Kings and the starter from Jack Black. $10 plus free shipping. Available at getjackblack.com with the code TEAMJB while supplies last.
We're going to shift on to the second period, and I'm going to be full confession here. I have no idea what happened in the first 5 seconds of the second period. I was like late back to the TV.
Trevor Moore like got angry, I think.
I sat down and there was a penalty. I don't know. I still don't know what happened. But
was that wasn't the Kane. That wasn't the headbutt too.
That was later.
Yeah, I don't know what happened at the start of the second too. But again, that just kind of circles back to playoff hockey. Like it's just so great. You know, it's when I made the joke in game four about, you know, Mikey Anderson and Nugent Hopkins fighting. You know, it's just like it's just so great when that kind of stuff starts happening in a series and you get some legitimate bad blood between teams. But I have no idea what happened at the start of the second.
Next note is Athanasiou is such a weird X factor. I see why he hasn't been working on the top line, but what a great power play / fourth line specialist. And I don't mean specialist. I just mean like he is literally a guy that can all of a sudden turn something out of nothing, and you're like, where did he even go? I didn't even know he was on the ice, and all of a sudden things are happening, and it's
As you know, Jesse, I played the game and I gotta get all my greatest hits and I haven't been on the podcast in a while.
Sure.
But one thing I never had both in hockey and in life was speed.
Yeah.
And when you see him and Kempe to that matter too, like glide down so effortlessly, like you understand, okay, this is why McClellan put him in the lineup tonight. Like it really, like it is an X factor to use a dumb cliche. But oh my gosh. And I don't know, was you that made the joke or somebody made the joke about how every time, like if you put him in every other game, he could have like a 40 goal season. Cause it seems like every time you sit him the next game, he has a goal.
So the next note, and I really want your feedback on this one. The next note was about the goal that Cassian scored off of Connor McDavid. And the camera showed their faces after they while they were celebrating. And all I could think of was they look way too like intense in that celebration. That did not look like a joyous celebration. I just didn't buy it. I didn't buy it for 1 second.
That to me looked like a monkey coming off someone's back. You know, like that's what the celebration was.
But like, you know, way too excited for a
way too excited. And yeah. I was just the one thing I wanted out of this series was to escape without a goal from that just ridiculous NHL player that is like it's just a joke that guy is still in the NHL. And I know he's changed his game around and blah blah blah. And it's like I could score 15 goals playing on McDavid's line too, but like I just didn't want that jerk to have any satisfaction with a goal. But now, because this is how we always turn positive and negatives at Team TRH, I tweeted out tonight, but someone screen capped his scream that you were just mentioning.
Right.
And now it's like, it's the most, it's going back to the McTavish look at horror. Now it's like,
who was the St. Louis Blue that was on the bench that was like in the series in 2012 and he was like doing a eyes bugged out double take and we ran into the ground. So I don't remember who it was, but yeah, it's
definitely it's the sad Joe Thornton gif. Yep. I mean, it's like now it's going to be the new kind of meme for the rest of the playoffs. So I'll take it.
He had three or four other moments like that in the night where the look on his, I think it was like at the end of the second period when they were all going off, you know, the ice, you know, down the tunnels and everything. And he was chirping back at the Kings bench. And again, it just had that look on the guy's face where like, if I was on the Oilers, I would want him to calm down. Just like, shut up, calm down.
Yeah.
Like this isn't the Zach Cassian show. This is the Oilers versus the Kings. We get it. You're trying real hard. Try hard. He's a try hard, I guess, is what it felt like.
Do you think he'll get any supplemental for that cross check on Jersey?
I doubt it. Maybe. I mean, either the playoffs are friggin' weird.
He might get a fine, you know,
yeah.
Like how they like
$2,500, the most allowable under the CBA. Yeah. So the next note, lack of power play production burns again because Oilers scored at the, you know, not on, wasn't
is that an evergreen note? Do you have that much, like, permanently put into your notepad?
Yeah. 46 line created momentum shift that started hemmed in their own zone. Oilers dominating the second. Then that goal from Kempe. The first goal from Kempe, excuse me. that really came out of nowhere and was just such a perfect playoff out of nowhere moment.
Oh, I mean, just like, is there anything better than just a perfect five hole, right? They went like, went five hole goal.
Carlin and Stoll played it over and over and over again. And even Jared was like, I don't know how it went in. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, my memory serves, it was just like a perfect, like, five hole. Just like, as Smith was stepping over, it just found its way in. And it's just, it's good, because, you know, you've been tracking it all year long in terms of reminding us on Twitter how many goals Kempe scored, but he really had a breakout year this year. And it's, you know, again, being long-suffering Kings fans, like, how many times have we seen these rookies come in with these flashes of offensive brilliance, and they just, you know, you always wait for them to turn to that 35 goal scorer, and they don't. But he did this year, and for him to have the night that he had tonight after the past four games that he'd had, it was just great. And quite honestly, I wish the game didn't end in overtime after his goal, because I think if the Kings kept playing, he would have got his third goal. You know, like, I kind of was like, let's keep playing. And right. Maybe he get that trick.
Why not? The next time I had was still talking about the Kempe goal. Todd McLellan has talked all year long about the importance of handing off shifts. And one of the lines that he always compliments is Lemieux, Lazat, and Kaliev. He says, like, you go out there, they have a good shift, they turn it over. In this case, it was that second line that we talked about earlier. Trevor Moore was all over the Oilers on the shift right before Kempe's goal. I mean, they just hemmed the Oilers in, hemmed them in. And then the Oilers try to clear 11, 19, and 9 takeover. And that was like a perfect example of handing one good shift over to another and it just turning into a goal. It's just another example, like you've talked about, of Todd McLellan coaching this team in the playoffs. I wasn't expecting it at all. Now we're going to get to the Athanasiou goal. And I was considering tweeting this, but I didn't know if anybody would think it was funny. So I'm workshopping my tweet now on you an hour later.
A live workshop?
Yeah, yeah. Workshop. When was the last time we saw 22 score without moving his feet?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it's just like all kind of coming together at the right time. It's just, again, it's a cliche. You know, what's being said to them locker room, what's being said to them before the game. And it's a message is being sent to him, you know, putting him back in the lineup. There's an expectation to do something. And he delivered on that. And a bunch of Kings delivered on that tonight. And it's just great. Cause again, he's another guy that, because his skill set is so unique, and even though the NHL is so fast, a guy like him stands out so much. For him to be alone in the crease there, it did feel different. But like that pass from Deneau, from Brown. Like, I just, again, I think it ties into what we were talking about earlier. It was just a beautiful play to watch, like, over and over again.
I don't think it was a playoff game, but I'm reminded of the video that we had of Patrick Marleau missing a wide open net that we played over and over and over again. And just Dustin Brown creating the turnover at the, you know, top of the zone, patience to pass the Athanasiou, patience to score it.
Bad calls, dirty slashing. We expect a little bull on the ice, but you know when we can't stand it? When we're tracking packages, looking up tracking numbers, shipping statuses that never get updated. We call bullshit. So we got Route. It's the free app that tracks everything you order online in one place. Route sends us real-time tracking updates, or we can pop into the app to see where our stuff is on an actual map. Download the Route app in the App Store or Google Play, or head to route.com to learn more. No bullshit, just great tracking.
All right, so now we're going to get to the Blake Lazat part of the podcast.
Oh my gosh, this is taking so long.
Because Blake, this is the note. Blake Lazat swinging at Evander Kane is just the Blake Lazatiest thing ever.
like it's so comical. Like, Kane, you would think he would stick out his hand and do that, like, yeah, thing where you do, where the guy's like swinging and he's just like, yeah, holding his head back, you know?
I mean,
I want to hear, like here's my notes for you. Yeah. I want to hear, like, what you have to say about playoff Lazat.
I have been frequently going back into my Twitter account and finding the occasions in the past where I had asked,
I saw you did that,
is Blake Lazat the best player on the team? And in 2019, it was less a comment on Blake Lizotte and more of a comment on the state of the rest
of the
team.
He was actually the best.
But he was in 2019. But then he would keep having these games. And then you see him in this friggin' series. There were like three times tonight where he literally got knocked to the ice. And everybody makes fun of him for it, and everybody points it out. And I see all the, you know, comments on the message boards and tweets and Facebook posts about, you know, Blake Lizotte's a placeholder. Why can't we get somebody better than Blake Lizotte in there? And me and Dooley and everybody else, we roll our eyes and we go, you're talking about the fourth line center. There's no such thing as a fourth line center who's a placeholder. Like, you have who you have, and that's it. You're not waiting for, you know, a better draft pick to develop into your fourth line center. But on top of that, Blake Lizotte is every time he gets knocked down, he pops right back up. And 90% of the time, he pops right back up with the puck.
With the puck. I can't remember. It was in the third, but there was a specific moment against the benches.
Yeah.
Where I think it was Bouchard. Right. And he just like, he got the puck and then he got knocked down. He got the puck and he got it into the zone. And I just remember saying out loud, like good shift. You know, like it's right. Just like you... Like, I appreciate a player like that. And it's interesting because between him and Iafallo and more, like, the Kings have these, like, smaller players that are just so crafty with not just offensively with the puck, but also defensively. And I love me a good stick lift better than anybody else. Like, there's no better defensive play in my mind than the good old stick lift. And Lizotte is just so good at it, just getting in there and getting the puck back.
You know who Blake Lizotte reminds me of? And I'd never actually put this together until just now.
Ooh, I'm curious about this one.
And I don't mean this is not a reference to his playing style, his size, his height, or his effectiveness at any one particular part of the game. This is just a vibe check. He's Justin Williams.
Yeah. All right. I've heard you say crazier things.
Williams was contagious in the way he played.
Yeah.
And Blake, but you're
right. He Williams swam. That's what I always used to say about Williams, right? Mm-hmm. He would like be in the corners and he would kind of like how I don't know football that well, but like a defensive line will like kind of swim through. And Blake Lizotte is kind of the same way. Like he just gets through the bodies to get to that puck.
I said in the post game show after game four, probably over passionately, that I don't care about skill and I don't care about hard work anymore. And I think, what I was trying to say in those moments were a guy like Blake Lizotte, who absolutely works hard and should be commendable for working hard, but you have to work hard at the right things and you have to be good at working hard, right? Like you can be bad at working hard. Like the fact that you can be putting in effort. We were talking about this. I don't even remember who I was talking to, but talking to somebody recently about, you know, somebody being working really hard at their job. And I was like, right, but they're doing it wrong.
Like, right, they're still bad at it, no matter how hard they work.
They're just getting worse because they're working so hard at it and they're not good at it. Like Blake Lizotte works hard at all the things that you need to work hard at. And he's good at working hard at them and taking on Evander Kane. Could you imagine being on that team and seeing Blake Lizotte, the tiniest guy with the biggest heart, going after Evander Kane, like potentially the league's most, I don't want to say controversial, but like
hated,
notorious. Let's say notorious. The guy, the most notorious player in the league at the moment, I think. Phenomenal. And then to follow that up, we're going to get to the headbutt that Nurse did on Deneau. And then do you remember I don't remember if it was 14 or 12, we used to talk about you need to out composure your opponents. Mm-hmm. Phil Deneau, just the perfect picture of composure, takes a headbutt, doesn't punch back, doesn't swing back, just very calmly, very quietly wraps his arm around Nurse's entire head as soon as his back is turned to him and gets him in a headlock and reminds him that he's there. It's fantastic.
The legend of Deneau, you know, it's
the legend of Phil Deneau.
We got a glimpse of it last year, but I feel like it was all about like, oh, he eats pizza after the games, you know, like, like that. And I don't think, I mean, I knew he was a good player and I remember watching him in the Canadiens run, but
just to see this guy play in and out every night is just an honor. And it's so great to see, whether it's like the Sportsnet team tweeting out like the fancy stats, or it's just the, you know, Wyshynski talking about Danault, like it's just the love and appreciation for what that guy has done, like in back-to-back first round series, you know, against Austin Matthews last year and now against Connor and Leon. It's just a sight to behold.
And I
think what you're saying with your out composuring, like that's what he brings to a team. And so, yeah, we can talk about the nearly 30 goals and being the best free agent signing, but like you actually brought him to the team for that kind of stuff, like what he did with Nurse tonight.
And regarding our conversation about Lizotte and skill and hard work, like, is there anybody anywhere who would argue that Phil Deneau is top 50 in skilled players in the NHL?
Number two in pizza eating post game after Brett Burns.
And yet he is so important to what this team does, and he's so effective at what he does, and it just drives me up a hill that people don't get it. Anyway, if Team TRH still had a t-shirt shop, I'd insist that there be a Most Valuable Phil t-shirt.
Or a Deneau MG. MG, come on. Exactly. Deneau MG.
I like that. All right. So moving into the third period, this is where the pessimism starts to creep in. If the Kings lose the game, it's because of that failure to score with 19, 11, and 9 early on. That was the first note of the third period, because they had I don't remember if it was a odd man rush or whatever, but they had an opportunity. They didn't score. And I just felt a pit start to form in the bottom of my stomach, because even though they had a lead, I just felt like McDavid and Draisaitl, as much as I just talked about how not important skill was. Those guys are friggin' good. bad offensive zone penalty, time to kill it. Rare mistake from 46. And then McDavid is a cheat code, is the next tweet. And I'm sure you can guess what happened after that. Yeah.
Is he ever a cheat code? And it's crazy too, like on that goal, because like Quick played it perfectly. Like Quick, the poke check from Quick was perfect, but it still was not enough to stop a guy with hands like that.
Yeah. No, he's too good. It's not fair. Next note, weather the storm, amazing pressure by Lizotte's line, must score on this power play. Then they get another power play. Now it's 5-on-3 for 15 seconds. They get a 4-minute double major, and they actually scored, or double minor, excuse me, and they actually scored on it. And I thought for sure that was ball game. I was so confident that was the game there. But it was not the half.
It was not.
But Phil Deneau scoring that goal. And Jim Fox compared him to Sidney Crosby, which I thought was pretty funny. And that is when
seems like a bit of an under comparison, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'll take it.
Well, but so this is a conversation that I've had with a couple of people now, Peter Russo being one of them, and I forget who else has said this, but maybe it was Jack Han. I think it must have been. But drawing the comparison between McDavid and Crosby, the phrase that keeps getting said is McDavid is good at stuff that you can't replicate. You and I can never be Connor McDavid.
No.
You and I could be, we're not, obviously, and very few people are. But the things that Sidney Crosby is good at are transferable. They're teachable. Like it's sort of like the difference between Batman and Superman. Like,
never seen it.
But I mean, like, you can't be born on a planet that is destroyed and sent to another planet and have the sun turn your solar skin cells into super batteries, but you could have your parents killed, I guess. You could dedicate your
life. It's got really dark.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you could theoretically train your whole life to become the world's greatest detective and you know, martial artist and whatever. Like,
so okay, so this like Superman's born with the skill, but Batman had to learn it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
And not that Crosby doesn't also possess otherworldly talent that nobody else has, but it's just like he's good at stuff that requires effort and work, I guess. And McDavid is just apparently, I don't want to suggest that Connor McDavid doesn't work. He looks like what he's doing is just effort. Like, he's so fast, his hands are so good. Like,
it's like how Michael Phelps, like, if he did anything else besides swimming, it would have been like his body, his torso, his arms,
exactly.
I like Connor McDavid's hips are like open in such a way through genetics that he could skate like unlike anyone's ever skated in the game before.
Yeah, and he did have to put in the work. But if Blake Lizotte put in twice as much work as Connor McDavid did, Blake Lizotte will never be Connor McDavid. It's not going to happen. Anyway, the point is Deneau is amazing, and I love Phil Deneau. This is where I wrote this
game.
That
was the point?
That was it. this is where I wrote this game is basically 2-on-20. Because this is where Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl just took over. And
it was like how I feel like the four times I've tried to play Fortnite with Team PRH.
Yes.
I'm like, I can't quite figure out. Like, you guys are building walls and like...
Let's be clear. There's only two people building walls because it ain't me and Brian.
and I'm literally like shooting myself in the head. Right. So that's what it looked like. Like 2 versus 20.
But and this is where we got into that stressful last, what I don't know, was it 3 minutes of the game, 2 minutes of the game? It felt like forever.
Felt like
But they held on. They weathered the storm, and then
there was a moment, Jesse. There was a moment where I said to myself, "Just get to overtime, and you got this." Like I really, like I, you know me, I'm not an optimist, but I was like, if they can just hold it, like they're gonna win this game. I didn't think you'd be that quickly into the overtime,
I did not either. No, and I thought we'd have some scares, right? I thought there'd be some moments where it was like, "Oh boy," but and maybe this is. I had this experience after game one where they won game one, and you can weigh in on this because you were there for all the cup wins and all the failures before and after. This is the first real, because the Vegas series was over before we blinked, right. And even the San Jose series in 2016, there was the one game where it was like, oh, this is fun again, and then it was over, right? This is the first series where we've had an opportunity to feel like we might be losing something that we thought we had. Because San Jose, they were down 0-2. And even game three, they won in overtime. It was like, we leaned real hard into the uh-oh, but they lost. And then Vegas was just a slaughterhouse. But this is the first time where I feel like, okay, there's something on the line here. There's something at stake here. And I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm older. Maybe it's because they do have those two cup banners hanging at Crypto. Look, when they won, I stood up. I cursed. I pumped my fists. I clapped real hard. I hurt my wrist on the fourth goal that the Kings scored. That is because I'm old. But I never really felt the impending dread. Maybe it's a weird confidence in the team. I don't know. Like, is that ringing at all with you?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, I mean, like, that goes in line with what I was saying to myself. Like, just get to overtime. Just don't give up a goal in these last 3 minutes. And I think they got that. And it's been, you know, you don't want to do what the Preds did, right? And waste 8 days.
Yeah,
you
know?
And
right.
And I think there's not one person who follows this team that doesn't quote Danny Glover and say, I'm not even supposed to be here today, right? Like, this team is
that
is
Danny Glover from, I thought that was Clerks.
Is it Danny Glover from
I think Danny Glover is I'm too old for this.
I'm too old for this. I'm not supposed to be. It is Clerks.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm loath to quote Kevin Smith, but like, I am too old for this stuff too, actually.
Yeah.
It's a combination of both, but like, there's not one LA Kings fan in their right mind who's like, yeah, we absolutely playoffs, third in the Pacific. Yeah. Called that with Doughty going down and Walker going down and just the parade of injuries they've had this year. But there just is something about experience, right? And when you've got not just Kopitar and Brown and Quick, But you've also got Deneau, who's been through it recently and is a veteran player. And it's just, there is something to be said for that. And we are seeing it. To get blown out 8-2, you know, and whatever the game, the score was before that, and to bounce back in the way they have in these last two games, like, that comes with maturity and experience.
Adrian Kempe to score that OT winner the way he did, which reminded me so much. I think it was a game against Montreal where he came in. to the offensive zone, didn't like what he saw, did a lap, came back around and did it again. Even when he was scoring all those goals, I didn't necessarily believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a regular season thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the top line was sort of held off the scoreboard for the first four games, I think. Right? No, I guess Kopitar mm-hmm. scored in the 8-2 game, I think.
Right.
But 8-2.
Hate to see it.
Yeah, exactly. but for Kempe to score two goals from basically the same spot, well, I guess not the same spot, but coming down the same side,
which is, yeah, his jam. Honestly, Jesse, and I'm not, like, this is not, I don't even know why it would be chest pumping, but the minute he put his head down, I said to myself, he's going to score that. Like the minute he put it into hyperdrive and like, you just knew he was going to score that. Like it's like muscle memory, that move for that guy to get the speed and to get the upper hand and to make that move. And I think I was celebrating before I knew it went in, because I just had assumed like it was in the goal.
When he dropped the shoulder and made the move to cut across the crease, I definitely, my knees
got that NHL 94 action. Yeah. So that was.
But like my knees and my ankles definitely got the note from my brain, like, get ready. We're about to stand up. But it reminded me, and this is sacrilege, it reminded me a little bit of Kopitar's first goal. Now,
yeah, I can see that.
Mike Smith and J.S. Giguere are at very different points in their career, and there was no Chris Pronger trying to stop Adrian Kempe, but...
Well, Duncan Keith was a little on the Chris Pronger side, maybe.
Yeah.
the quirt equivalent of an aging defenseman.
Yeah. No, okay, so time for the old man dig. Because now we go into game six on the precipice of a potential Kings win in the first round.
At home, which
would be the first series win since 2014. It would be this first series clinching win on home ice since 2014. All the things.
None of that matters. You know why? It's the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh no, it's
the Edmonton Oilers. I don't want to step on your point, but like.
No, it's perfectly fine.
The Oilers to take them out in the first round, to not only to Jesse, now it's a time-honored tradition that the LA Kings have a 30-year-old cycle. That's time right. is a flat circle where what's they destroy the hopes and dreams of Edmonton Oilers fans.
What's the motto of the Masters? Is a tradition like no other? Is that it? Is that them? There you go.
It's a tradition like no other.
We just need some azaleas out
it's,
front of crypto.
It's unlike Haley Comet, this is something you could see twice in your lifetime.
So the other day, I found this earlier in the year, but I was looking for it the other day. Serious question here. I don't expect you to have an answer, but what year was the earliest year that you remember the phrase or some variation of the phrase, is this the Oilers' year? I'm pretty sure it's like 2009.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds about right. I mean, we should do a search. When was Here Come the Oilers, right? I mean, it was.
That one goes back at least 2011.
Yeah. Probably even earlier than that. So yeah. It's, you know, I think it was just that string of draft lottery and you know, it's been their time for so long.
So I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. I don't want to act like we have beaten them. I don't want to act like the Kings have beaten them yet. However, I am ordinarily loathe to pick on other Kings fans. It's a lie. But it's
isn't that your brand?
Well, it's yours as well. You're the one that I'll put this on my shoulders. However,
Are we getting first round tattoos? Are we getting tattoos from the Oilers first round?
I heard something the other day so absurd that I couldn't let it go without commenting on it. The question was posed by another Kings media outlet. The question was posed, if the Kings beat the Oilers, would it be an upset on par with beating the Canucks in the first round in 2012?
This is like a good
No, it's not. No, not. It's nowhere really? Close. Are you but, kidding but, me, man?
I disagree with you on this, Jesse.
Oh, you're killing the, me. You're killing
that was
me.
The second. That was the second of the Canucks' back-to-back president trophies, right? Yes, they were bounced yes. in the first round the year before from Chicago. So it was right.
No, they were in the final the year before, weren't they?
Were they in the final the year before? I thought they had been bounced.
2011. Wow, now you're going to make me look it up.
Now we're going to have to look it up, and you're going to have to edit this. But
no, nothing.
No. I mean, no, it's not. But the Sedin brothers are no McDavid, Dreisaitl.
Aren't they? They were pretty
dominant.
Good.
They were dominant players, but they were not video game like takeover players.
They weren't cheat codes. You're right. And one of them was out.
And they're so one. Much more physical. Connor and Dreisaitl are so much more physical than those guys ever were.
2011 Bruins Canucks in the final. So they were just coming off of a cup okay. final.
All right.
Back-to-back President's Trophy. Roberto Luongo is... Mike Smith is 39. Roberto Luongo was, I don't know, 29 maybe? Like,
Mike Smith's 40. He's not 39.
He's 40. Okay, there you go.
Which is ridiculous. Everyone's talking about how old John Quick is, and he's like 5 years younger than Mike Smith.
But 2012 Vancouver, was there a Mike Smith, a Duncan Keith, a Zach Cassian, and a Vander Kane? Like, and I'm not saying those aren't good players, but like,
so wait, what are you? You're saying this is a bigger?
No, I'm saying 2012 is a huge was. Upset. Yeah. They were the they well, were it's the also the Kings were the
eighth.
Winner.
They were the yeah. eighth seed. Yeah, no,
this
totally.
Is a 2-3 matchup.
They had fired their coach. They had fired their coach midseason. Yeah, no, I get it. But this is a pretty big upset.
Like, it's
this
is and like, it's great, and we should be excited about it. I'm just saying, like, as an old guy,
you know, I think this is probably down. On par with the exact same thing the Kings did 30 years ago when they defeated the Oilers in the first round. Of
yeah,
like I well, think that's like.
Or if you wanted to say this was a bigger upset than beating Detroit. In 2001,
yeah,
like it didn't happen.
Now we're getting now. I feel like we're tagging cold takes exposed. I feel like if we start getting a bigger update.
Anyway, what's the bigger upset? I was stunned when I heard the question out loud, and I was even wait, more people,
really.
Yeah. I just don't think it is. But whatever. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's huge. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. if the Kings are able to, and that's the thing, Kings fans. The last two, they just got to win one of the last two.
Here's a real question for you.
It's a big upset. That's a big upset, and it's especially because I know you love to second guess the Oilers, but it's like they brought in Holland, they fired their coach this year. If I hear one more time that the Oilers coach was a former video coach and all this, it's just like who cares? If McDavid goes out in back-to-back first rounds with having the second best player in the world like by his side, I can't wait for the fire sale that's going to happen to that team.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's still two more games left. As Todd McLellan said at the end of the press conference after game four, their math doesn't go past one. So
one out of two, Kings fans. They just got to win one game.
That's right. We got game six on friggin' Thursday, which is a statement I never thought I would. I just didn't like. I don't have two little girls, but I got two little sisters, and one of them is graduating from high school at the end of May. And I have not yet bought a plane ticket because I might be working. not a thing that I expected to have happen. And to your point about the upset, with no doubty, because I really don't think this gets talked about enough, and I understand why they're not going to talk about it, them being the coaches and the players. And I understand that it can't be hammered every game, every shift, but no doubty, no Arvidsson.
Yeah. I mean, that's like now it's like, oh yeah, Arvidsson, right? Yeah, yeah. That guy. It's like if he's available for the second round, do you put him back in? Does it ruin the chemistry that this team?
No, you. I mean, you like, got it, right?
No, I'm joking. Yeah, I'm joking. But yeah, I mean, but that's what this team has been all year. This team has just been able, and it goes back to what we talked about on the start of the show: the system. They built the system, and you can drop players in, and you can sit players out, and bring them back in the next game, and hopefully it's. They play the way they're supposed to play.
The half my gift to you this episode was never once saying, in many ways, you and I are very different people.
Look, we're bringing all the greatest hits.
That's
so,
right. That's
Might as, well. We have, and please give my best to your father.
Oh, I will. Don't worry about it. All right, the half. I will see you.
Yeah,
Thursday
this is fun,
night.
Jesse. We should try to do it every. We should try to do it every 10 years. You know,
it's on my calendar for 2000. Now I got to do the 2032. We'll do. We'll have a Mike Richards contract is finally over. Podcast. That'll be 10 years from now. All right, the half. I'll see you.
Oh, sorry. You know, I already have my Bobby Bonilla contract is already over podcast book. So
perfect. I'll see you Thursday night, half.